I feel so honored to be here tonight because I have a great respect for your pastor. I have known of your pastor for quite a few years, but I really didn't meet him in person until a couple of years ago. I was Assembly of God for many years, and for reasons, I left the Assemblies of God, and I was kind of like out here by myself, and I just was so heavily, so strongly involved with the Assemblies of God, and meetings and fellowship and all of that, and your pastor has reached out to me and been a friend to me, and just, Brother Tardo, it's meant so much to me. It really has, and other brethren also, but you especially. And I have a respect for your pastor for many years. I've known of him, and it is a privilege to me to fill your pulpit. So I have an awesome responsibility, the awesome responsibility that any preacher has, and that's to speak God's word. That's a heavy responsibility. And I need God's help. So I want you to stand, please, and stretch forth your hand and pray. Stretch forth your hand toward me and pray that God will help me and speak through me today. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. You can be seated. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now that is Matthew chapter 1, and I didn't tell you where it was because I didn't want you to check up on me in case I missed one. So that's Matthew chapter 1. Like apples of gold, God placed the names of five women in Jesus' family tree. Jesus' family tree, or might be called his genealogy, is given to establish his right to be the Messiah, a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of David. But here is a strange thing. In this family tree are the names of these five women. And if you have read the Bible, you know that's not the normal thing. Normally in the Bible, the genealogies are traced, and there are a number of them for different reasons where we have all of these strange names that we struggle with. But they are there with the names of men, because the ancestry was traced through the men and not through the women. So here is a strange thing that God in his word placed in Jesus' family tree, the names of five women. They may be there for different reasons. I don't know all the reasons that God put the names of these women here, but I know one very simple reason, and that is to show you that you can be included. And that's what I want to talk about today. You can be included. The first of these women was named Tamar. God struck dead her husband, Er, for some sin that he committed. Now, it was the custom of the time that if a man died, it was the duty of his brother to marry the widow, father a child, and bring up the child who would carry on the name of the dead brother. And so a man named Onan took this woman ostensibly to father a child who would carry on the name of his dead brother. But Onan was like many people today. He wanted sex without responsibility. And so he took this woman, but he did not complete the sex act. And I won't give the details. You know what they are, but you can read about it in Genesis chapter 38. And this was a great sin in the sight of God. The sin of Onan was not birth control. Bible, the sin of Onan was that he took this woman and used her, Tamar, to fulfill his lust and his passion, and not to carry on the duty toward his dead brother. And for this, God struck him dead also. The father of these two men was a man named Judah. And Judah had one more son who was young, but Judah promised this woman Tamar that when his son got older, he would give him to her. They could marry, and the lineage could be carried on. They could have a child who would carry on the name of the dead man. For some reason, Judah didn't do what he promised. I think Judah's reasoning was this: well, I've had two sons who were with this woman, and both of them are dead. She is bad news. And so he didn't do what he promised. Time went by. She realized that she would not have a son to carry on the family name. And she realized, maybe, though the Bible doesn't say this, but she realized she would not have a son to take care of her in her old age. And so she learned that her father-in-law, Judah, would be passing a certain way, And she disguised herself as a prostitute, the garb of a prostitute. And evidently in that day, the garb of a prostitute totally covered her so that she would not be necessarily known. Sort of like the burqa that women wear in Islamic countries today, in Iran, in Islamic countries today. And so she disguised herself as a prostitute and stood by the roadside and caught the attention of Judah, her father-in-law, when he passed by. Judah didn't know that this was his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And so he made a bargain with her to rent her body. He gave her some personal items to keep until he could pay her for her services. I'm trying to be nice about this. He gave her some personal items. Time went by. She didn't show up to receive the payment that he was going to give her for what they did. And so Judah learned that his daughter-in-law was pregnant. And he was incensed and outraged, and he intended to kill her. He intended to burn her for bringing shame to his family. Now, wait a minute. He's going to kill her for doing the same thing that he did. That's called a double standard. They had a double standard then, and we have a double standard today. And I can tell you it was wrong then, and it's wrong today. And all the ladies said amen. Before the time came to kill her, when she was brought in to be put to death, she produced his own personal items that he had given her that proved that he was the father of the child that she carried in her body. And now he couldn't afford to kill her, because she was carrying his own child. So she had the child. In fact, she had twins. But one of those boys became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the story of this woman, Tamar. And Tamar shows that you can be included no matter how people have treated you. Tamar was mistreated. She was mistreated by her brother-in-law, Onan, who only wanted to use her to satisfy his own lust and passion. And that was wrong. She was mistreated by her father-in-law, Judah, who lied to her. And not only did he lie to her, but he almost killed her for doing the same thing that he did. Some of you have been mistreated in your life. There may be somebody here today, maybe a woman who was mistreated by your own father. And there may be a woman here who was mistreated by your husband. And there are some of you here who have been mistreated by people who have borrowed and not repaid and broken their promises and betrayed your trust. And as sad as it is, there may be somebody here who was mistreated at some point by a minister or a priest. That's such a sad thing. So it's hard for you to trust people because you have been mistreated and you've been betrayed by people. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God will never mistreat you and God will never let you down. So you can be included. no matter how people have treated you. The second woman in the family tree is named Rahab. As I have told you, Judah thought that his daughter-in-law was a prostitute. Well, Rahab was a prostitute. She was a prostitute in the city of Jericho, where prostitution was accepted and even honored. It was part of their religion, both male and female homosexual prostitution. And she was a prostitute in that city when the people of Israel sent two men as spies into Jericho before they entered the city, before they came against the city to find out what was going on there. And they went to the house of Rahab. I don't believe they went there to use her body. They were representatives of the Lord God of Israel. They were men of God, and I believe they went there because it was a place where men were coming and going, and they could go there, they could hide, they could hear what was said, they could find out what was going on in the city. However, they were recognized, and somebody reported them to the king of Jericho, and the king of Jericho sent men to capture these two men of Israel. Rahab hid them, lied for them, claimed that they had already left, and in fact she was hiding those men, and then she helped them to escape. Now here's the part that you're going to struggle with, but this woman, Rahab, became married a man of Israel. She became an ancestress of the great King David, the greatest of all the kings of Israel, and she became an ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. That's in the Bible. If you had such a thing to happen in your family, that would be the skeleton in the closet that you would hide from everybody else. But God boldly put it in the Bible so you and I could read this and know that you could be included no matter what you have been. Doesn't matter what you've been, you can be included. You could have been a prostitute. I have preached about this woman in more than one church and learned afterward that there was a woman there by God's grace who once was a prostitute. In fact, when I went out in evangelism, the first place I ever preached, a couple came forward and quietly told me, when everybody else had left, they quietly told me that she had been a prostitute. Her husband used her as a prostitute, and that day they called on Jesus as their Savior. You may have been a homosexual, you may have been a drunk or a drug addict, you may have been a cheap crook or a white-collar criminal, but there is Rahab in the Bible, and God put her there so you could know that you can be included. No matter what you've been. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, now two, only two, $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, and going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not understand what changed its worth." Quick came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. So many a man with a life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. You can be included no matter what you have been. Third woman is Ruth. Ruth was actually a Moabite, and she had migrated into Judah with her mother-in-law, Naomi. They were poor. They were widows. Widows in that day were poor, so poor that they had to struggle to have food and stay alive. And this little woman, Ruth, went out into the field to pick up grain that people dropped by accident in the field. Now, they had a welfare system, and their welfare system probably worked better than ours, but their welfare system was that if someone dropped grain in the field, they could not pick it up. They were not to pick it up. They were to leave it there for the poor, and also they were to leave the corners of the field for the poor. And so this little Moabite woman went out into the field and picked up the grain, and her heart was so big that she did not only do that for herself, but also for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she caught the attention of the man who owned the field, and eventually they got married. And this woman who was a Moabite became an ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now here's the strange thing. The law decreed, the Old Testament law decreed, a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord even to their 10th generation. So you might ask me, Dr. Orfila, you've written the books and all, how do you explain that? And I would have to say to you, I can't explain it. All I can say is that she was excluded by God's law, but she was included by God's grace. And that's your story. Because we have all broken God's law. And we were excluded by God's law. When I was a drunken teenager, a rebellious drunken teenager, by the law, I would have been taken out and stoned to death. But God's grace included me. That's why I'm here tonight. That's the story of every one of us. Now, Ruth shows that you can be included no matter who you are. America today and the church is still dealing with the legacy of racism. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream of a day when a man will not be judged by the content of his character and not by the color of his skin." And after all the years that he said that, we still haven't gotten there. I was born and bred with a heritage of racism. My father, at one time, was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, though he was not a violent man, but he was a member at one time of the Ku Klux Klan. He was a segregationist till he died. I went to segregated schools. I was brought up with a heritage, a legacy of racism. When I came back to God, I began to wonder if all this was right, all this that I was brought up with, was this right? And I did something that I wouldn't recommend anybody to do, but I did it. I opened up the Bible and just let it fall open for guidance. And my eyes fell on a verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. That verse said, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And as I pondered that verse and struggled with that verse changed me. That verse made me different. It was like the saying attached to the great Azusa Street revival. The color line was washed away by the bloodline. Praise God. Praise God. You can be included no matter who you are. The fourth woman in the family tree is Bathsheba. Bathsheba's husband was an army officer in the army of King David, Uriah. She was a knockout beauty. While her husband was off at war, his boss, King David, was up on the roof of his house. Why was he on the roof of his house? Well, they had flat roofs with a little wall around it, and it was like your patio or your porch. He was up on the roof of his house, and maybe Bathsheba was not as careful as she should have been to cover herself, and she was bathing, and David saw her and sent for her. He committed adultery, and she told him after some time, I'm pregnant. David tried to hide that sin. I won't tell you the long story, but he tried to hide the sin that he had committed. And when he was not able to hide his sin, he arranged the murder of her husband, the man who was such a just man, a great man. David arranged his murder. Then they got married. David was trying to cover up his sin. The child died, but they had another child. And contrary to all expectation, contrary to the way you would have done it, the way I would have done it, that son named Solomon became the king of Israel, and he was the greatest of the kings of Israel, other than perhaps his father, at the height of its power and glory and wealth and riches. He was known for his sin. And Bathsheba shows that you can be included no matter what you have done. I'm going to look down for just a minute and not look at you, because I don't know your story. I know my story, and it's not good, but I don't know your story. So I'm not talking about you personally. So I'm not going to look at you for just a minute, but most of you here have some shame down inside. You were pregnant when you got married, or you cheated on your wife, or you stole from your boss, or you've been to jail, or you have been a homosexual, or you have had an abortion, or you could fill in the blank. Most of you down inside have some shame down inside. But here is this woman who shows that you can be included no matter what you've done. Did you hear that? I said you can be included no matter what you've done. Well, the fifth woman, you don't have a problem with her. Her name is Mary, but the people in Nazareth had a problem with her, because she was a young woman who was pregnant and wasn't yet married. I don't know if they had a barber shop in Nazareth, but if they had a barber shop in Nazareth, I imagine the conversation was like this. I imagine somebody said, did you hear that little Mary is pregnant? And Somebody else said, well, one of the other guys says, well, I've got something better than that. She claims she's pregnant by the Spirit of God. And another guy says, yeah, I'll believe that when ducks fly backward. Now, she was indeed pregnant by God's Holy Spirit. God created life within her. And God vindicated her, but she had to bear shame in men's eyes. And Mary shows that you can be included no matter what people think of you. When I was a kid, we were some of the poorest of the poor. We never owned a house. My parents never owned a car. In fact, neither one of them drove. We didn't have a telephone. We didn't have a television. When the boys came to school once a week talking about the wrestling on TV the night before, I was left out of the conversation because I didn't have a TV to see the wrestling match. Back when Primo Canera wrestled Gorgeous George. Some of you remember that. Our next door neighbor invited my brother and I to come over and watch that match between Gorgeous George and Primo Canera. Big deal, wrestling. Well, we were some of the poorest of the poor, and we were poor people living among rich people before gentrification, as it's called, before gentrification in New Orleans. Poor people and rich people used to live close together. We lived on 7th Street in the Garden District of New Orleans. We lived in rented house for $45 a month, and we had neighbors down the street and all around us who lived in mansions. I see pictures on Facebook of the mansions all around us. I didn't know what those were when I was a kid. I didn't really appreciate it, but we lived amongst wealthy people, rich people. And we didn't really have a lot to do with the rich kids. We went to Live Oak Junior High School, and they went to Rugby Academy. But I remember one time we were playing cops and robbers with some of the well-to-do kids. And then we were talking afterward, and I told them, my daddy makes $50 a week. Now, folks, $50 a week back then was more than it is now, but it wasn't a whole lot back then. And I was kind of proud of it because we had clean clothes, we had enough food to eat, and we had a house to live in. I thought we did real well since my daddy made $50 a week. Mama bought the groceries for our family of four for $15 a week, which she tithed before she bought the groceries. But I told one of the boys, and I still remember what he said. I told him, my daddy makes $50 a week, and I remember what he said. He said, if your daddy only makes $50 a week, he sure must be crummy. But you know, one day I was adopted, and the father who adopted me owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And he builds cities that have streets that are paved with gold. I'm a child of the King. I'd start singing if I knew how to sing. Hallelujah. Let's give praise to God. People may diss you, roll their eyes at you, put you down, and tell you that your mama wears army boots. That was the ultimate insult when I was a kid. Your mama wears army boots. But I want to tell you today that you're somebody precious to God, and you can be included no matter what people think of you. If you've never been saved, you can be included. If you have once known the Lord but turned away from Him, there is forgiveness. You can be included. If you're poor, you can be included. And if you're rich, you can be included. And if you are red or yellow, black or white, you can be included. That's what we used to sing in the Baptist church. Evidently, not everybody believed it, but it was true anyway. If you were born to an unwed mother or a drunken father, you can be included. If you are a high school dropout, you can be included. If you came from the wrong side of the tracks, you can be included. If you are saved, but Satan condemns you, believe me, I deal with that, for your past, you can tell him, it's gone. I'm included. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us that we can be included. And Lord, that you put before us these examples in your word to show us that we can be included. Speak to the heart of every person tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to come and stand in front of the church right here. We're going to pray as we close the service before I turn the service to the pastor. Move up a little bit, guys, if you would. Would you do that? Everybody else move in. Let's make room. I'd like for us to pray. I know you could pray in your seat. Somehow I just think we do better when we get a little closer together and stand up and pray. So I want everybody to come, please. And, I don't know about everybody who's here tonight. Probably most everybody here is saved, but maybe somebody's not. Move up a little bit. Come on, folks. Let's move up. I want us to be together and pray. Hallelujah. First of all, I want us just to take a minute, and I want us to give praise to God. There's one thing we have in common. You may be saved, and you may have been saved for many, many, many years, but one thing we all have in common, we were all sinners, and God loved us, and God included us, and God gave, in fact, he came himself in human flesh to die and suffer the penalty of our sins. That's one thing we have in common, and that's how we got into it, guys. We got into it because Jesus took our guilt and took our punishment. So let's just take a minute and let's give thanks to God that he included us. Lift your hands to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you included us. You included us, oh God. You loved us when we were unlovely. You sought us when we ran from you. Lord, you died for us before we lived for you. We praise you, oh God, for what you did for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. Now, listen. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sunday will be Easter Sunday. A lot of people will go to church who don't normally go. A lot of them would say they believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. They believe it maybe in their head, but not in their heart. Here's the difference. What you believe in your heart is what you live by. And the rest is just religious talk. If you believe in your heart, it makes a difference in your life. And if a person says, I believe in Jesus, but they live for the devil, they believe in the devil more than they believe in Jesus. So here's what I want to do. We in our church, we make a confession of faith. And I want to just simply read it aloud one step at a time, and I want everybody here to say it after me, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're saved or not. It will give glory to God when you say this. But if there's anybody here tonight, I don't know if there's anybody here who's away from the Lord, and has not really given your life and your heart to Jesus, but if there's anybody here who's away from the Lord, if you confess this and you believe it in your heart, that means you give your life to what you believe. The Bible says you will be saved. And so I'd like for you to just say this after me. I believe the Bible, the Word of God. I believe in God the Father, Creator of all things. I believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Who died for my sins and rose again. Who is coming again in power and glory. I believe in the Holy Spirit. By whose power I am born again. God, forgive me of sin and change me within. Say it. God, forgive me of sin and change me within. And if you made that confession, just saying those words won't make you a Christian. But if you believe it in your heart, you could receive Christ as your Savior tonight. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight who is away from the Lord, and tonight you want to say, I want to give my life and heart to Jesus from this day forward. Okay? I'm going to believe that everybody here tonight is saved. Hallelujah. And that's wonderful. I wish... I'm glad you're saved. I wish I had a few sinners here to get saved, but that's okay. Praise God that you're saved. Thank you for letting me be with you. And when the devil comes against you and reminds you of what your past is, you tell him your past is gone. Your future before you is good because you've got Jesus. You're included. Hallelujah. So, Pastor.
Yes, brother. Thank you.